Loving Father, just as I said about last week, for me, might your word, my words, be living and active in our minds and hearts. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit to lead us to understand your truth for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we begin a series today in Acts over the next 10 weeks through the summer, a standalone series about being extraordinary. The subtitle today of The Spirit Comes to All Followers of Christ. Before I launch into the two passages we had read, I want to take you back to last Sunday and tell you a little, or give you a little cameo of something that happened. This young man, whom the Lord used actually to speak to me, James, a slightly built young man, I was chatting to him just before the service in a very easy way. He's just been recommended for ordination. And it then turned out he needed to excuse his help from conversation with me because he was about to preach. So he did. As I said, he spoke insightfully and powerfully. The Spirit was certainly at work in me, applying what he said and the truths of Romans 8:28 to my family. A little bit after he spoke, and during a couple of songs, a lady stepped forward and said, "There's a couple of things I think the Lord might be doing, and you just need to know that over to the side, there's a couple of us are going to be there to pray with you if you need prayer." Next thing I know, this James preacher, who's just standing off to the left, starts walking across to that corner where they're praying. And I think, well, he's one of those going to pray for other people. But I notice that that's not what's happening. He goes over and he asks for prayer. And that goes on for the next 5 or 10 minutes while the service is going on. And as the service finishes, I just happen to be, because I'm a relative stranger, so I'm just observing what's going on. And I see that as the people cease to pray for, the person ceases to pray for him. So he's been being prayed for about 10 minutes. As he does that, almost in the same instant, so before he's done anything, the freewheeling children, including my grandchildren, who are just running all the way around, and they literally are freewheeling in this traditional church building, a whole gaggle of them gather around this young man, James, on the far side where he's been being prayed for. And they just, well, it's like he's a Pied Piper. They're drawn to him. They clamber, they chat and mingle around him for 2-3 minutes. And I just thought, the children know, don't they? They can sense that here is somebody freshly full of the Spirit of God. He hasn't done anything to demonstrate it. They can just tell that he's full. And rather like I imagine children were drawn to Jesus just like anybody else, these children gravitated to this young man and circled around him. Our theme is being extraordinary. I don't think James felt anything other than ordinary. He indicated he's just gone forward for ordination. That's quite a humbling process. He's been affirmed, but there clearly were some tricky issues that were about to be resolved. I think the way he preached, he was clearly struggling himself with living out the verse he was preaching on. So he was clearly feeling very ordinary himself, and yet God's presence in him made something rather extraordinary happen. This gentle, humble, wrestling, probably self-confessed, rather weak man knew where to turn to. The extra in him was making him extraordinary. As we stand on the cusp of a new series, I hope that you have been perhaps in a life group working through this study series, understanding and experiencing the Holy Spirit. I hope you've learnt perhaps from the Old Testament about how the power with which creation happened, the life that the Holy Spirit gave and breathed into all humankind and all life, the way in which the Holy Spirit came powerfully upon individuals for short times and inspired their gifting, the way he gave a new heart, and that's literally what it says, to Saul and David, the way in which later in the Old Testament, and actually in Moses' lips, there was a longing that one day everyone would prophesy, that is, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the promise that that would happen one day, whether it's Joel or Jeremiah. I hope that you've learnt that the Holy Spirit is promised to all, that the Holy Spirit was living and active in Jesus. Indeed, in our reading, it says that he instructed them through the Holy Spirit, Jesus. I hope you picked up that John the Baptist said Jesus will baptize or immerse his followers with the Holy Spirit and fire. I hope you have learned that the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts, that is, extraordinary gifts and insight that couldn't be explained naturally to ordinary people. What are yours? I hope you learnt that if we keep in step with the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5, then he brings to bear fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control in the individuals and in the community. I hope that one of the things you learned is that we all need more of God's extra gift, the Holy Spirit in us, if we're going to be more than ordinary people attempting to live as Christians. So I think we stand on the cusp of having learnt about the Holy Spirit and studied and hopefully begun to learn quite a lot, that we have an extended period of the next 10 weeks when we can look at how the early church first experienced the Holy Spirit. One thing for Jesus to say the Spirit was going to be given, or to say he was going to baptize them. What did it mean for them? What was it like? What was the experience? And maybe in parallel with that, to be going, I want to experience more of the Holy Spirit. I know how ordinary I am. I want God's promised extra in my life. I want to know him, be filled by him, be equipped and empowered and gifted by him. And I want it to be extra to my life, not just the same, not just me being a bit more me by trying harder, but God encountering me, the Holy Spirit encountering me in unlooked for ways, so that I might become extraordinary in his hands, which clearly is what Jesus intended. Don't leave till you have the extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit. Then you will be empowered to be my witnesses. So let's just look at the two passages that we had read. The first lovely question, Philip, after all that time, he says, show us the Father and that'll be enough. And Jesus said, well, you've been looking at me, watching me, with me. If you don't understand that the Father is in me, and actually by implication the Spirit is in me, if you don't understand that, you've missed the whole point. You're looking but you're not seeing. So Jesus says, actually he says something rather extraordinary. Because he says, very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. So if you think you cannot be extraordinary, Jesus contradicts you. He is saying that ordinary people will do the extraordinary things that he did because of what he then offers. Partly because he's going. So he is going to the Father. He will be in heaven paying attention. And he then says, and I will ask the Father. And it's like, Father's here, Jesus is here, both in heaven. I will ask the Father, and what will he do? He will send you. Listen carefully. Look carefully. Note what... These are red letter words, you realise. Do you ever had a red letter Bible? Which has everything Jesus says in red. And it's helpful to know what Jesus said, particularly speaking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. Advocate, counselor, companion, friend, helper. That's what the word means. Somebody, in other words, you can know. Like you could know Jesus. And another means what, and it means one the same. So it's another the same. As me. Another the same as the Father. If you can know the Father and you can know the Son, you can know the Spirit. Indeed, it's through the Spirit you will do both. So, I will ask the Father, and the Father will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Then listen to what he says. He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So this is not something given to those who do not believe. Those who believe can receive the Spirit in a way that's different. And it says, because it, that is the world, neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. In other words, look at me, the Spirit lives in me, he will live in you. How is Jesus talking about the Spirit? He is saying, you can know him. He says, it can know him. He doesn't say, it can know it. He says, it can know him. The world can know the person of the Holy Spirit, who is one exactly like me and exactly like the Father, and he indwells you as he indwells me now. That's the promise. That the indwelling Holy Spirit we see active, making Jesus do extraordinary things, is going to be given to every follower of Jesus. We can know him. And through him, Jesus and the Father. Let me take you then to the Acts passage, because this is just the sort of promise. It's the template for where we're going. I need to probably go via the end of Luke's Gospel. Note a little detail. If you have a look at the Emmaus story, it runs into the end of Luke. So two people who are not any of the apostles, Cleopas and probably his wife, come running back to Jerusalem, enter the room, tell them they've met Jesus. Jesus appears in that same room while they're talking, and then the passage rolls on with Jesus explaining scripture to them and then saying, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So Cleopas and his wife, who are not apostles, appear to be in the room with a lot of others when Jesus says the Holy Spirit's going to be given to you to make you witnesses. In other words, the Holy Spirit isn't for the apostles only, but is for everyone. But he says, wait. He says, for goodness sake, I've said it before, don't try and live this Christian life in your own strength. And we all do exactly that the vast majority of the time. And I speak for myself. No, he says, wait. And he promises. So the beautiful passage, in the beautiful thing, Acts 1, Jesus, who's taught them by through the Holy Spirit, verse 2, presents himself alive. And then while staying with them, look what it says, the translation here. But he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. And then he says, and this goes back to you, in Luke's Gospel we learnt that John the Baptist said Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So Jesus says, we will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Have you? Are you? The word baptized means immersed. Are you filled full? Regularly. And do you, like my friend, I can't think of it as a friend, I only met him once, James, when you are empty, either because you leak and are vulnerable, or because you've given out, as James had just done, do you get topped up? Do you go for prayer? Do you ask for prayer? Do you ask for the Holy Spirit to refill you? Because that's what James did. That's what drew the children to him. That's what's important for every one of us. If we're going to be extraordinary, we need to seek the filling of the Holy Spirit specifically, repeatedly, overtly. This runs great till it runs out. Then I have to charge it. Anybody have an electric car? They run fine so long as you plug them in from time to time. Pretty regularly, actually, at the moment. I could make you a cup of tea. And I could... No, I'm actually going to do it. I could make you a cup of tea. I could put the tea bags in. I could make you a cup of tea. There we go. Or I can make you a cup of tea. You know when it says don't quench the Spirit? That's what doing life without the Holy Spirit's about. It's deliberately going, nope, I'll do it my way. I don't need the Holy Spirit, thank you very much, even though you promised him. Even though I can know him, even though I can be filled by him. I just won't ask. And that was Jesus teaching about prayer too, wasn't it? The Lord's Prayer. Keep battering on the gates of heaven. Ask, seek, knock, and you will receive, because the Father gives the good things to those who love him. What's that? The Holy Spirit. I need to wind up. I hope that you are learning that we're on the cusp of something, and what would be really good is to take the lid off the pot, to let God fill you, to specifically seek prayer, maybe from other people, maybe privately, to look to God to do extraordinary things in your life, because you are ordinary, but he is extraordinary, and he promises the Holy Spirit as that extra counselor and advocate, one like Jesus whom you can know. Jesus did extra things. He gives the Holy Spirit so that we can. Jesus promised ordinary people like you and me that we would do more extraordinary things. Because he was going away in the gift and promise of the Holy Spirit of truth, another counselor, advocate and friend, like Jesus, like the Father, would be given to us. And we receive the Spirit of truth in us. And Jesus pours out the Holy Spirit so that ordinary people like you and me can be witnesses to him. You probably think, I'm not a very good witness. Well, you can't be brilliant as a witness if you're not full of the Spirit that Jesus says you must have to be an effective witness. Only when you receive the power and receive the Holy Spirit and are baptized in the Holy Spirit and receive the Holy Spirit can God do the extraordinary things he wants to do through ordinary people, even in St. Andrew's, Oxford in the 21st century. Let's take the opportunity of the next few weeks to ask and receive the extra that we all need. A moment to pray. Lord, we want to pray in prospect, saying that we know ourselves just ordinary people. We thank you for the promise of your Holy Spirit and the power that he brings to be witnesses. And we ask that in the coming days and weeks, you will fill us with that gift, surprise and empower us. In Jesus' name, amen.